Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, how much is that doggy in the window? That's an interesting title for today's show.
It is. It's very appropriate.
Right. So why are puppies in the news? That's what we're talking about. How much is that doggy in the window? A lot of things about puppies in the news.
Yes. We had a recent incident where people were going into the hospital because of picking up Campylobacter infection from handling puppies in pet stores.
Oh.
And especially during the holidays, that's something that, you know, as people go out there and look at puppies for that special kid for the Christmas present.
It's not always a kid.
Well, yeah, that's true. Sometimes, you know, you get a puppy for all sorts of reasons, but the holidays are definitely a good time to pick up a puppy. And one of the big problems in pet stores is that people have been picking up a Campylobacter infection and actually getting hospitalized with it. So that's something that I think that, since it's in the news, that we should be talking about and kind of warning people on what's going on.
So what is a Campylobacter infection?
Well,
am I saying that right?
You are saying that correctly. Campylobacter infection is a bacteria. That's why they got bacter in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a illness that gets into the gut and can cause quite a few different types of symptoms. And it can be, at times, dangerous.
Mm. So what are the symptoms of a Campylobacter infection?
Oh, they are lovely symptoms.
I think one starts with the D.
Yes.
Like the big D.
Bloody diarrhea.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes it can be mistaken, though it is also accompanied by fever. You start to get that about 2 to 5 days after exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And you get fever, you get diarrhea, you can get obviously a tremendous amount of nausea that goes along with that. And it can be rather unsettling if you have that,
mm-hmm.
Kind of wondering
what's going on.
And one of the problems with the particular infection and why it made the news is because it's also antibiotic resistant.
Mm-hmm.
Infection. So with an antibiotic resistant infection, you can't really take any antibiotics to try to get that under control.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nasty little infection. It is the most common. Campylobacter infection is the most common infection in the gut out there.
It's the most common one.
Yeah. There are 1.3 million infections of Campylobacter each year just in the United States.
And could you have it and not even know it?
There are times you can actually have it and not be aware.
You know when you have diarrhea. But
right. Well, it could be. It takes about 500 Campylobacter bacteria that gets into you that can kick it off. So it doesn't take too many. As a matter of fact, you just one droplet.
Oh, wow.
Can carry the Campylobacter.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is it is an intestinal bacteria, so the only way that you can catch it is through feces.
Okay, and that's where the puppy comes in.
That's where the puppy, because puppies kind of poop all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if they lick you, because they oftentimes mm-hmm. get their mouth where places where we don't think they should. And so it could be a lick or just handling some of their skin or different aspects of that. And then you can actually pick it up. Mm-hmm. So Campylobacter can be spread many different types of ways. But the feces is how it's actually spread. And so it is something to be aware of. And it's a very uncomfortable infection.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that's not bloody diarrhea for a week is not something that people really want.
No. No, doesn't sound fun. Well, what kind of germ is Campylobacter?
Well, Campylobacter, that, of course, you know, is a bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting shaped little thing. It looks like a little swirly rod.
Uh-huh.
So it is kind of interesting. It is something that is a little bit fragile, though. So if you freeze meat, things like that, it doesn't really spread that, you know, that quickly. Mm-hmm. But it's usually spread, the most common way that it's spread is poultry.
Okay.
So chickens actually are the most common way that you get it. Matter of fact, if you analyze the your chickens, mm-hmm. you know, any chicken meat that you have, 33%, one-third of all chicken meat has Campylobacter on it.
Wow. But you can't see it.
You can't see it.
No.
Mm-hmm. One of the ways that you can spread it is, you know, like one of the things they said is don't wash fresh chicken. Mm-hmm. You know, wash it because it, the
don't
water.
Don't wash it.
Yeah, the water droplets actually spread. You know, so if you wash it and mm-hmm. water droplets spread, one of those water droplets, if anything else comes in contact with it, can actually spread the Campylobacter. So that's a very common type of thing that you need to watch out for. So if you have a cutting board and you cut up chicken, and if you put like a vegetable on there that's not cooked, mm-hmm. you'll pick up the Campylobacter from it.
Yeah.
Very common way.
Really important with cutting boards.
Yes. So making sure that you cook all your meat, get everything up to par, is a very important part of any type of preparation for any type of poultry. So turkey, any of the different types of poultries carry it. You can also find it in beef, milk mm-hmm. is a common way mm-hmm. that you can actually get that in case there's any cross-contamination with any feces in the milk. Mm-hmm. You can actually pick up Campylobacter that way.
I'm never going to eat again.
So it can become quite a bit of a problem.
So how do puppies become infected with Campylobacter?
Well, it was probably something that let's say they were fed some type of food that had Campylobacter in it, mm-hmm. even their mothers. And then they actually got it in their digestive system from some way, from water, food, or even contact with other different types of feces. So if there isn't really good sanitation, you know, that's involved in the care of the puppies, then they can actually pick it up. Our dogs can actually pick it up, mm-hmm. especially if they get some raw chicken, things like that. One-third, if you remember, of all chicken has Campylobacter in it. Mm-hmm. And so they can actually carry it in their feces, just like we do. And they can actually carry it for quite a long time and then actually pick it up that way just through handling.
Now, will the puppies have diarrhea?
The puppies oftentimes have diarrhea, which actually then spreads that pretty quickly through other dogs. And then if you're cleaning them, then you can actually pick it up too. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that if you notice whenever you go to check out puppies, there's a lot of hand washing. Mm-hmm. They always want you to sanitize your hands, handle the puppies in a very careful type of way. So as you're looking at that little doggy in the window for Christmas right now, mm-hmm. Just be, follow the rules.
Right.
You know, I had noticed when we were looking for a puppy mm-hmm. long time ago. For a dog, that they every time that we handled a new dog, they wanted us to wash our hands in between.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people were like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's important not only for the puppies, but also for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure that you follow those rules. Those rules are there for a reason. And nobody wants to go through that. And there can be some serious problems that can occur.
And so this is something new this year. I mean, Campylobacter's been around, but yes. Seems to have increased.
Well, you know, the whole thing is that, yes, the number of infections of Campylobacter is actually on the increase across mm-hmm. the United States and across the world. Mm-hmm. So it's a growing problem. But one of the main problems is that we are getting a situation where the bacteria are becoming resistant to all the antibiotics. So when we were talking about antibiotic-resistant bacteria, I would probably say back in 1910, about 17% of the bacteria was antibiotic resistant. Mm-hmm. By 2014, it was 25%. And at this point, it's almost 40% of all the infections are antibiotic resistant.
Wow. What percentage was that?
40%.
40%.
Yeah. So, you know, we're getting into the Center of Disease Control has said that we are in a post-antibiotic era now. Mm-hmm. And so many, many different types of things that were under control are going to start spreading. Mm-hmm. Tuberculosis. Now, tuberculosis used to be a very big killer, mm-hmm. you know, across the world and in the United States. And it was something that got under control with the help of antibiotics. Now we have antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis. We have antibiotic-resistant many different types of infections. And as that has occurred, those types of things are going to start to become to the forefront and have a lot of problems. As a matter of fact, one of the things is that with the antibiotic-resistant, a lot of surgeries are probably, you know, elective surgeries, mm-hmm. probably won't be done anymore.
Wow.
Because the possibility of the antibiotic-resistant infection occurring outweighs any type of benefit. So, you know, we have to rethink how we operate. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't be depending on antibiotics as a main line of defense.
Like they've been.
We have to be thinking about other means of controlling bacterial infections.
Mm-hmm. We come back. More on the Campylobacter infections.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Why does the gut have such a big, you know, effect on our immune system?
Well, 80% of our immune system is around our gut because mm-hmm. that's where most infection actually comes from. People with immune system problems have to look to the gut. And when I'm talking about immune system problems, I'm talking about cancer. Cardiovascular disease is oftentimes kicked off by infections also. Free radical pathology that affects that. All autoimmune diseases have a huge effect because it's an imbalance within our immune system. You always have to look to the gut for that. And you're talking about Sjogren's disease, Graves' disease, Hashimoto's, rheumatoid arthritis, type 2 diabetes. All those types of things really are originating in the gut. So a lot of the chronic types of illnesses that people are actually experiencing, osteoarthritis actually originates basically in through the gut. So there is a huge amount of an impact. And to be able to really treat anyone with any of those diseases, you have to go to the gut. And if you are not going to the gut, you are not really treating that disease. So understanding that and finding out what the underlying problem, and many times when people are going from place to place, doctor to doctor, trying to understand and not getting answers for their disease process, then you have to go back to the gut oftentimes to find the hidden problem. Of course, that is a big problem because it's kind of a hidden area. You know, how do you actually analyze it? And with the Biogenome Project, they have been able to explode. It's almost like a brand new ability to do diagnostics because now we can do genetic testing. And that testing will actually give us the information from the all the way up to the mouth, all the way down to the anus. Mm-hmm. And it covers the entire thing, and nothing is actually left out. So our ability to actually find out what's going on has just exploded.
Well, let's talk about this comprehensive stool kit you use called the GI Effects. And why is this one that you've chosen to use in your office?
The information that I get in there has really been so thorough that now we can, with confidence, be able to say exactly what's going on in the gut and that we know what is happening and also exactly how to treat it.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, how much is that doggy in the window? It's not only going to cost you, it could cost you very discomfort if you pick up campylobacter infection.
Sure.
And this has been in the news lately. Is this throughout the United States, Midwest, just Indiana?
It was in a certain store, Petland stores.
Mm-hmm.
Very heavy in Florida, Ohio, Illinois, several other 15 states. No incidences in Indiana, though.
Okay. So, is campylobacter dangerous?
Campylobacter can be dangerous. If you have a weakened immune system, it can become deadly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, any type of immune compromise that you might have, if you're aware of that.
Always good to keep that immune system up.
Yes. The immune system, again, it's how much infection you get versus how your immune system. So, you can actually, with about 500 bacteria, which is less than a drop of water, can actually be carried, so, and that would be enough to kick off the campylobacter. The higher the level of number of bacteria you get, the more likely it is to become a major problem, and also the weaker your immune system. So it's the amount of, it's sort of like a mathematical formula, how much infection actually hits you versus how much resistance you have determines your ability to resist these types of infections. So, you know, having a good working immune system and also a healthy gut is extremely important.
And that's where we come in, you know, helping people build up their immune system.
Sure.
So it can resist things like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of the things that we're always checking. And then, of course, there's a tremendous amount of research that's going on the health of the gut with the relationship to the health of individuals. The National Institute of Health is doing an ongoing type of a program, and they expected a lot of good results, that there's a strong relationship to gut health and an individual's health, but they didn't expect the results that they have gotten. In other words, it's much bigger than what they had even anticipated.
Yeah.
So being aware of one's gut health is one of the major things that you should be looking at for your overall health, and there's a tremendous amount of ramifications that people should be aware of. And for those people who are really trying to make sure that they're as healthy as they possibly can be, doing a gut diagnostics is extremely important.
So you talked before about, you know, the antibiotic resistant. How does a bacteria become antibiotic resistant, and what does that mean? And I know we have answers here at the Prather Practice for that.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, one of the big things is overuse of antibiotics. You know, we have just, you know, been spreading the antibiotics all over the place. One, people have been getting too many prescriptions for antibiotics for quite a long time. Secondly, we've also been giving it to the animals. So there has been a real push to try to change the practices for animal husbandry to make the farms less antibiotic dependent. So in other words, you can't, having healthier environments for the animals so that you're not giving massive amounts of antibiotics just to keep them alive.
Right.
And so there needs to be, and then we also get those antibiotics into our system because they're in the meat. And the bacteria have the more exposure that the bacteria have, the quicker they can actually become antibiotic resistant. And we've been playing a race. There's been a race game between bacteria and humans on the antibiotics, and the bacteria will definitely win because they have the mathematical advantage. So you can put together 100 generations in bacteria in a very within an hour.
Wow.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it's not something that we can actually possibly win this war. So we need to change our prescribing patterns, and we also need to change our environmental patterns.
So, and we're going to talk about some ways here at the Prather practice that we treat that.
We need to find alternatives, and that's one of the great things that we have. We have alternatives to antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking about that here shortly. So how is Campylobacter diagnosed?
It's with a stool kit. You can do different types of, either you can grow it in a petri dish, but right now what they're doing is they can actually pick up the genetic material in the stools. And interestingly enough, one of the things that they found is you can have an acute infection of Campylobacter, but now they found that you can have chronic Campylobacter infections.
And what does that mean? That's just been dormant?
Right. They had figured that Campylobacter became under control after a week and you got rid of it. What they're finding is that Campylobacter and a lot of the different types of infections aren't... They are suppressed, but they aren't gone. And there's
We find that a lot.
So we do genetic testing on the stool and find that there's an awful lot of infections, including Campylobacter, as a major type of contributor to long-term types of illnesses that people are seeking answers to, that they're not getting those answers. So I feel sick. I feel tired. I've been to 8 different doctors. I've been to... Mayo, Cleveland, John Hopkins, and they can't figure out what's wrong with me. Well, we do genetic testing on the stool, and we can find about 20 different infections that are going on, or some major infections that are chronically going on in the gut that's causing a lot of problems, and Campylobacter is one of them.
Wow.
Matter of fact, there's a very strong correlation between osteoarthritis and Campylobacter. It's one of the things that can occur.
Osteoarthritis.
So, you know, that has been well proven. Matter of fact, are you familiar with Guillain-Barré? 40% of all Guillain-Barré patients are as a result of Campylobacter infection.
And that's interesting, you know, so, because that they become paralyzed.
Right. It is an autoimmune reaction to the nervous system. So Campylobacter can kick off autoimmune diseases. Which is a very exciting way, because that's one area that we have not been able to be effective on. So many different times people are suffering from a lot of different types of issues, fatigue, immune suppression, different types of autoimmune, osteoarthritis, which is an autoimmune disease. And the underlying problem is a chronic bacterial infection in the gut that is now oftentimes resistant to antibiotics. So
and
what do you do?
You're finding that here at the Prather practice.
DNA testing, and you can actually show that up. So what do you do in that type of situation? You know, well, you have to have some other answers, and that's one of the great things is here at the Prather practice, we do have the answers.
So how many people walking in the door, are you treating this on a daily basis?
On a daily basis. Of course, anyone who has any GI symptoms, we go on ahead and do a stool kit. And we're almost finding 100% of the time that they have some underlying infection that has been sitting in there that has not been adequately treated and cannot be treated pharmaceutically. So we have to have other different types of courses of action to help to get those under control.
Okay. When we come back, let's talk about those type of treatments here at the Prather practice.
Sounds great.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
I love our holiday traditions, like the Christmas tree, where we go out and we chop down a tree and we put it in our living room. Kind of sounds like the behavior of a drunk man, really. Some woman wakes up, honey, why is there a pine tree in our living room?
I like it. We're gonna decorate it for Jesus. And then I'm gonna hang my socks over the fireplace. Fill them with candy.
Maybe I'll tie some leaves to the ceiling, see if I can get some action.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at DTSweightLossCenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed.
Friends and relations. Send salutations, oh, as sure as the stars shine above.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
How much is that doggy in the window? We're talking about Campylobacter, and why we're talking about doggies and puppies is because in the news, people were picking up this bacterial infection, Campylobacter, right, going into pet stores and, you know, picking up different dogs and then leaving with a pretty bad bacterial infection.
Absolutely.
With some of the symptoms, you said diarrhea, bloody diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the treatment, because Dr. Prather, you talked about this Campylobacter is resistant to antibiotics.
This particular one, yes. Mm-hmm. And the number, I mean, not too long ago was only about 17%, then it went up to 25% by 2014, and now it's hitting about 40% of all infections. So it's
of all infections.
Of, well, the Campylobacter and some of the ones, but we're seeing antibiotic resistance growing more and more. So what do we do about that?
Yeah, and we have some answers here at the Prather Practice.
We have some answers. One of the things that we use on that that's fantastic for when people get food poisoning is aerobic O7. And what that is oxygen drops. And if these, when you actually put those in some water and drink it down, it kills the infections into the gut. Matter of fact, I think you had an experience in Africa when you went there and used the aerobic O7.
Right.
And everybody else got sick, but the people who weren't using the aerobic O7 didn't.
Correct.
Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, there were about 20 of us went to Mali, Africa, stayed in the village part of that time, and I had the aerobic O7. I've been to Nicaragua too and use it, and you just put the drops in your water bottle with the water every day. I would do that. And then drink from the water bottle. And our daughter and I did it. And we were the only ones that didn't get bad diarrhea.
Right.
You know, everybody else got that. Now, the people I go with to Nicaragua, they all
know.
Do the aerobic 07. And now the people that we went to Africa with, you know, won't go back without their aerobic 07.
Right. You have one lady who travels all over the world, and she doesn't go anywhere without her aerobic 07.
Yeah, because that Africa trip was pretty bad on the plane for her on the way back. But, and the aerobic 07 is used in the military.
Yes, it is the standard of that the military uses, United States military, mm-hmm. to keep their soldiers from having the diarrhea problems. So it is something that's very widely used. It is very proven to help to, and one of the nice things is that the bacteria will never become resistant to it, mm-hmm. because it works in a manner that they can't become resistant.
So when you put those drops in the water, is it killing any bad bacteria?
It does. Mm-hmm. It kills the bad bacteria in there, and then when it gets into the gut, it'll actually clean out the gut mm-hmm. for the bad bacteria. So it is one of the common ways that we use that to
And you don't have to go to Africa or a third world country.
Well, we find it very effective because we do an awful lot of stool testing. Mm-hmm. And so we'll find like a campylobacter or other different types of bacterial infections. Of course, we also find parasites and we also find viruses and other things that could mm-hmm. be in the gut. And so what we do is one of the things that we use is aerobic 07, put that in there, and then we retest and we find it very effective on actually killing the infections that mm-hmm. it's geared towards.
And we have it in our medicine cabinet.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There are other different types of products that we can use for the infections. We have something called Uva Ursi. We have...
I like that. Uva Ursi.
Yeah, it's very effective. we have a Golden Seal. In other words, we have a whole variety of different types of herbals mm-hmm. that are well proven to be able to kill different types of infections. And one of the things that we do is when we send out and we find a different types of infection, so we have a culture grown, mm-hmm. and then we actually test the different types of products that we have to find out which ones will be effective on that particular infection. So right. we use a multiple ones so that we can really hit that, and then we can also see what works. We also check out on the antibiotics to one, see if there's a resistance or if those are effective. Mm-hmm. So we do use pharmaceuticals as well, you know, to fight it. But we're very, very dependent upon many of the... We try to use the natural products first. One, because you don't build up resistances mm-hmm. to them. And much more effective if you can actually do a combination of products to actually be able to kill the infection, because then they can't shift and try to get away from them.
And aren't they healing the gut at the same time?
Yes, and there is a difference on that. When you take pharmaceuticals, there's a weakening of the immune system. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we're really trying to do is not only give things that will kill the infection, but we're also trying to boost the immune system at the same time. And that's where homeopathics and probiotics work. Mm-hmm. So not only are we trying to, as we are treating the individual in the gut, go after the infections and kill those off, so we have products along those lines, but then we are also trying to build up the immune system. So that's where homeopathics come in.
Mm-hmm.
Homeopathics...
I love homeopathics.
Yeah, what they do is they stimulate the body's own immune system. If you remember, if you have a good immune system, mm-hmm. then you can actually fight off infections. So the homeopathics work on helping the body to target what the infection is, and we see an increase in the particular immunoglobulins that actually go after that particular individual bacteria. So once we've identified what it is, we also make a homeopathic for that, and it helps to get the body working in a much greater way than if it didn't have those.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we actually see the dramatic differences.
Yeah.
Most people don't combine we combine the pharmaceutical if we need to, plus the herbals, plus the aerobic 07, mm-hmm. all the different things to actually kill the different types of infections. But also then we go on ahead and then boost the immune system with the homeopathics.
Makes total sense.
Then also, we have to build up the good bacteria in your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Because the good bacteria actually acts as part of your immune system to prevent the growth of other bad bacteria. So the only way that most bacteria can actually, bad bacteria can take off, or in parasites or anything else, is if you are actually lacking the normal gut flora. And if you do have a good normal gut flora, there's no room for any other different types of infections.
Mm-hmm.
So rebuilding that is an important part. So we put in the proper foods, we get those gut flora into the gut,
mm-hmm.
and then we check it and we find an excellent change. And one of the things that we find is basically when we first start out with people, no one has a good gut operation mm-hmm. going on. No one does.
You see that from the
stool kit. Yes. Nobody has the normal gut flora. They
have
don't
you
have
ever
the
seen where nobody had any?
Yes. We have seen people who have absolutely any gut, good gut flora.
What does that mean?
It means that person is extremely fatigued, they're tired. They don't feel well. They catch everything that comes around. There's just a failure. They can't absorb the nutrients. Mm-hmm. It's just we are dependent upon that gut flora.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that, then that's a huge problem. And anybody who's been on any type of pharmaceuticals for any length, all pharmaceuticals kill normal gut flora.
Mm-hmm.
Not just antibiotics, but all pharmaceuticals. So if you are on a course of pharmaceuticals and been taking them for a while, or if you've been taking antibiotics quite a bit, if you have a child who has had six or more antibiotics before the age of five, they probably don't have a good gut flora.
Mm.
They are six times more likely to develop learning disabilities,
mm-hmm.
Autoimmune diseases. It just goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the problems that can occur. So what we recommend is that everybody get at least once a year where they get a stool kit done.
Yeah.
Find out what the problem is.
My time of year.
Yes.
I'm due.
And it is one of the biggest predictors of your health for that year.
Mm-hmm.
So getting that done, making sure that that's up to par, rechecking it, make sure that we are making the changes that we want to make, which we always do,
mm-hmm.
then you can actually see a big change in people's health, where there's just a huge turnaround on how they feel, what's going on. There's a decrease in autoimmune diseases. It cuts down on the possibility of cancer, cardiovascular disease, all those different types of things.
Right. And what's nice about the stool kit, it's covered by most insurances, which is nice.
That's a very important part.
So these treatments, you know, you're talking about homeopathic and herbal and that wonderful aerobic 07. What results have you seen from this treatment?
We have seen lives changed around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things that we look at is cancers.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people who actually went in remission before they even started treatments, as soon as we got the guts turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just it's not that we're treating the cancer, it's just that the body starts to kick in, and if you have a good, healthy immune system, mm-hmm. You start to get the nutrients in there, the body starts healing itself.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people with all sorts of different types of autoimmune diseases.
Mm-hmm.
We've had ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease completely clear up on people. We had a matter of fact, I got a phone call from a guy who was a specialist in ulcerative colitis, and we had completely cleared up one patient of his, and then we had cleared up two, and we had finally cleared up four, and he says, okay, I'm calling up this guy, because four is not a coincidence, and I've never seen an ulcerative colitis actually get cleared.
Wow.
So he gave me a call and said, you know, what we were doing and what was the research. And he was taking notes just to kind of see what's going on. But it is actually getting a lot of attention from different mm-hmm. types of research.
Yeah, you know, and if we can be open to learn from each other.
Correct.
you know, for the benefit of the patient.
Right.
That's encouraging.
We had one young man who had Crohn's disease, and it was just, you know, I mean, he just was not functioning, was not able to go to college, was having to drop out, you know, just because of the fatigue and everything that was going on with that. And so we had checked him out and found about six different infections.
Wow.
There were six. And so we started a program on there, and absolutely no normal gut flora.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to work with him. We had to be, you know, easy, gradual, because he was very sensitive. But, and it took an entire year, but mm-hmm. by the year's end, he was completely clear and hadn't had any symptoms. And when we did the recheck on the gut floor, we had eliminated four of the infections. There were still two left.
Mm-hmm.
That just took a huge stress off of his his immune system.
Yeah. Well, up next, we're going to hear from Amy, who's going to talk about her journey here at the Prather Practice.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, what makes your approach and emphasis on the thyroid unique?
We look at it structure functionally, where homeostasis is what is important.
Mm-hmm.
And homeostasis is a balance, and there's a balance in the thyroid that should be achieved, which you can determine. And the people who have a normally balanced thyroid homeostasis is probably less than 1%.
Wow.
Of the population. There are two systems that control the rest of the body, the nervous system, and then also the endocrine system. And as I tell the patients, those are the two things that we need to get fixed first. Mm. You have to have a proper functioning nervous system and a proper functioning endocrine system to be healthy. And the thyroid is sort of the workhorse of the endocrine system. And many of the problems that we see in patients, once we get the thyroid balanced out, a lot of the issues start to clear up. The people who come in here, often 80% of them have had their, because they felt that their thyroid was a problem.
Had them checked.
Had them checked, and they were told that they were normal when.
Why is that?
They're not doing the proper blood tests. They're not reading them correctly. Doctors aren't being specific enough on what the thyroid number should be. The American Thyroid Association has said that the numbers need to be much, much tighter than what they are. There's a different type of a evaluation. There's reference range, and then there's what is a perfect homeostasis? The labs aren't there to tell you what the blood work should be.
Mm-hmm.
They're just saying, of the people who come in here, 50% of them have this number. Reference range has nothing to do with where, you know,
mm-hmm.
you should be.
Right.
That's
I know
not
you
what
look way beyond them, and we
right.
tell people, you know, and they come in, well, my doctor said, you know, this
right.
was normal. And
and yeah. I say, no, that's
mm-hmm.
that's not normal. I even find endocrinologists
mm-hmm.
Not reading lab tests properly
mm-hmm.
to really understand where that should be, because when we get people into homeostasis range,
mm-hmm.
their symptoms go away. That's where they go, oh, wow, I feel really great. All the different things that I was complaining about are all of a sudden now working properly, and that's because they are in the range that I tell them that they should be in.
Right.
Because those are the proper ranges that need to be there.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients. For our Restoring Hope segment this week, we now go to Elaine Reisner with another patient success story from the Prather Practice.
So today we have Amy sharing her story here with the Prather Practice. So Amy, begin by telling us what health condition or symptoms first brought you in here.
It was joint pain, and I was sent by my GP to a rheumatologist. I did not have RA, so he recommended I come here.
Okay, awesome. So tell me more about that. How long had you been battling this? Had you gone to other doctors?
Actually, it started when I was 12.
Okay.
I started feeling sick and out of energy, and it was kind of intermittent. And then by the time I turned 27, all of a sudden my ankles swelled to the size of grapefruits.
Oh.
And I just had pain everywhere in all my joints, and I had lost a lot of my strength. I was trying to hang a shelf in a garage, and I couldn't push the drill in. I couldn't make the screw go through, something I could have done the day before, and I didn't understand what was happening. And so my GP originally thought it was rheumatoid arthritis. My dad has it, and so I was terrified. And she sent me to a rheumatologist who just started drugging me up with all kinds of antidepressants that would help with pain, which ended up just changing my personality, because I'm not a depressed person. Mm-hmm. I learned that when you're happy and you take those, they make you kind of mean.
That's not okay.
And plus all the withdrawal of stopping and starting new and stopping, and I went through so many different medications. And I met my husband a year after that, and he started pushing me a different direction to holistic medicine.
Okay.
And at this time, because with my job, I traveled for a living. I was on a plane, I'd say, an average of 150 times a year. And
wow.
I needed to work. And so I was working with a neurologist who gave me lots of drugs to keep me going. So I had Norco, and I had 50 milligrams of Valium every day to stop the muscle spasms, as well as 80 milligrams of Baclofen, and all these scary drugs I was taking the absolute max of so that I could just continue to be employed. And eventually, after a few years, it just started wearing on my body. By that time, too, I had lost a lot of ability to use the right side of my body. My brain wasn't processing things correctly, and being in tech, that's very difficult.
Sure.
Even writing, I would think of a sentence or a word, and I would turn the words around and the letters around.
Wow. So it just began to almost like take complete control of what was going on. I mean, you really weren't progressing in the direction. You were progressing in one area, but as far as full body, you were beginning to then go down a slippery slope.
Absolutely. And I was diagnosed with so many different disorders. Stiff person syndrome, that made a lot of sense. Something called, my favorite one, hyperkalemic periodic paralysis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that took about 6 months to learn how to say. Which is basically you get low on potassium, which made sense. I would start to feel bad. I would drink some orange juice. I was keeping figs on me, things that were high in potassium, and it would help. Because I would have these moments where everything, I would just go into complete paralysis. I couldn't move. I was completely aware of what was going on, but it would take about 10 minutes to get my body back, and it would start with moving a finger and maybe a toe, and then it would eventually come back. And when you're traveling, this is happening in hotels, or you have to pull your car off the side of the road. I mean, you know when it's about to hit, and it's fast. And so trying to live like this, and it happened once during a meeting in LA. I'm up in, you know, front of this whiteboard explaining this tech, and then all of a sudden I have no idea what's going on.
Oh gosh.
And I have a sales rep with me, and even though I'm looking at all my notes, I can't figure out what the heck I was talking about. And he helped pick it up. And after that, I'm like, yeah, I'm about the end of being able to continue to work like this. And so my husband brought me to a holistic doctor who said, you have Lyme disease. And also a co-infection of cat scratch fever. And I'd had it for a very long time. He said it was in my brain and my spinal cord, because I was walking with a cane by that time.
Oh my gosh.
I was in horrible, horrible shape. And he said, I'm not experienced in treating Lyme. So he sent me to a woman named Randy Miller. And I left my job and went into treatment. It was about 2 years of getting my body back together and stopping all those medications too.
Sure.
You know, I spent probably a year getting off all that stuff, 50 milligrams of Valium. It was an 8-month withdrawal process. It was horrible. And so I think some of the symptoms were from taking all those drugs for so long, and others were from the Lyme, and which is why I started my business, because I could sit in bed and work. Mm-hmm. As long as I had a phone and my laptop, I was okay. I was going to go nuts if I did nothing.
Sure.
And I finally started doing a lot better, but I was still taking Norco for pain. I still had joint pain, but honestly, I didn't have the strength to keep doing this, you know, more treatments after a couple of years. I just needed a break. And then things started getting bad again, and it was just this continuous cycle. I go to my GP. She said, I really think it's rheumatoid arthritis because the RA factor doesn't tend to show up. My dad was in his 40s when he was actually tested positive for it. So again, I go back to the same rheumatologist group, a different doctor this time, and he said, why don't you try Prather? And what was amazing is, in talking with Dr. Prather, he's looking at things I'm taking, and he's telling me that's what's making me sick. And when you grow up, especially in my household, where, you know, my parents were, there's a drug for everything, you know, eating tons of pills all day, and you know, no work on their end, just we'll take a pill and it'll magically get better. You know, it was hard to believe them, and especially after all those years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 40 now, so that was just last year.
Yeah.
12 to 39 of this constant fight of every day waking up in pain. And the first thing I stopped was my thyroid medicine, and I didn't have any more joint pain ever again after that.
So that started your journey here at the Prather practice. So how did things progress from there? What kind of treatments did you do here? Your progress?
So I had the Prather panel done, the series of blood tests.
Yeah.
They found a few things, like my hormones were off. Honestly, I just thought I didn't like people very much anymore. I never cried or had emotions. I mean, for years, it was just kind of flat, you know, and then he adjusted that, and then everything in my life was suddenly touching, and I saw it for 2 weeks solid at everything I saw. But I started noticing a lot of changes in my body, too. I started to feel more balanced. It's hard to explain. You don't know something's off until it's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the thyroid, too. They put me on Naturethroid. So stopping the Synthroid obviously caused some problems, you know, with withdrawal and mood swings and then getting back on something new. But once it stabilized, my thyroid used to swell to the point of losing my voice, and that hasn't happened at all. I don't feel like I have the flu all the time. You know, and like I said, the joint pain was gone, but I was still having some pain issues. And I didn't know where it was coming from. And so Prather suggested stopping Norco. And I said, well, I don't take it every day. How could I be addicted to it? And he's like, well, try stopping it. And I was instantly sick. And I, from how I've seen it over these years, is by not taking it every day, I've thrown myself into this state of constant withdrawal where I'm fine, I have a good day, but then the next day is bad because my body wants that medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so he made those shots to help me get through the withdrawal.
Homeopathic injections, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the auricular and the acupuncture helped a whole lot. I think I would have gone insane trying to do this. I mean, it was just such a small amount, and not daily. Again, it just blows my mind that I could be so hooked on that. And it took probably 6 weeks overall to get out of my system. And those shots, too, they got to the point where if I took one, I was really sick. So it trains your head. You don't take those anymore.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of ride out the rest of withdrawal. But once I was through that, I got up in the morning and I didn't have any pain for the first time. And it lasted more than one day. And it's been like that ever since.
Wow.
I mean, since I was a kid, I've been in pain getting out of bed every morning.
Sure. Yeah.
And you just don't think it's possible that you can open your eyes and actually get out of bed and
start your day.
And now I forget about it. I get out of bed in the morning and I go downstairs, and we have a house with stairs now.
Aww.
Just things that I never thought were going to happen when you're that sick.
Sure.
You just think you're not going to go the other direction.
Yeah.
And my husband has never known me healthy. When he met me, I was well into getting worse. And so it's changed our relationship so much.
Mm.
You know, I'm going back to who I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
You know, and getting my energy back and finally lose this weight that I gained through all of these treatments. And, you know, it's neat.
And I mean, even us here, we've been able to see your progress. I mean, we saw you when you were feeling not
one horrible day.
Oh, I will never forget that. And you know, and it is almost night and day, because you are someone who is full of life and you do love people. And when you come in, you say hi to everybody. And I mean, it's been wonderful to be with you on this journey and see your progress and to be with you through your hard days, but only to see your good days. I mean, it's been wonderful to see all of it. And I'm glad that we could help you and give you your life back. And it's been wonderful. So what would you say for someone out there that is battling, you know, for you, it's a number of different conditions. It was a thyroid condition. It was almost an addiction that you didn't even realize was an addiction, that it was even a thing. You know, we helped you in so many areas too. So for people out there listening that may be battling an addiction or a thyroid condition that they just can't get under control, what is some advice that you would give them?
You know, listen to what Dr. Prather tells you to do and put in the work. And there are a lot of supplements to take and a lot of visits to this office. But if you do it, your pain will go away. And one wonderful thing through all of this is I knew that if I could get here, I was going to be okay that day, that I would feel better when I walked out.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Amy, thank you for sharing your story, and it's been awesome to see you progress, and we'll keep you headed in the right direction.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.